Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Princess for the Marine by Jess Mastorakos. Narrated by Kitty Kelly and John William Maddox. 1. Zara. I stepped out of the cab and closed the door, eyes narrowing slightly at the house in front of me. This was the venue for the singles event. Wasn't it a little small? Before I could turn around and confirm that the driver had brought me to the correct address, he drove away, leaving me alone on the sidewalk in front of what appeared to be a simple one-story home. The front door opened, and a ridiculously handsome man in a perfectly tailored black suit leaned against it to hold it open. He held a clipboard in his hands and nodded at me in greeting. Then he just stood there, watching me, waiting for me to approach him. Looking from side to side to make sure he wasn't holding the door for someone else, I adjusted the gold chain of my clutch and stepped forward.
"Good evening,"
he said, nodding again.
"Name?"
"Zara Aster," I replied, watching his face for a sign that he recognised my name. Finding none, I relaxed a little. It was one of my favourite things about being in America so far. No one knew who I was. He checked his list and marked the spot that was presumably next to my name.
"Welcome."
I swallowed, peeking through the door but only finding a dimly lit hallway. It was a good sign that my name had been on his list, but I couldn't get over how ominous the entrance looked. This was a very unexpected venue for an event like this. Was this doorman handsome? Yes. Did he have a deliciously seductive tone of voice? Also yes. But it was a wonder that I could even hear him above the warning bells going off in my brain. This might be the start of a horror film. I might be walking into a nefarious situation, and no one even knew where I was. At least, I didn't think they knew, since I'd left my phone in the hotel room in the hopes I wouldn't be traced. Now I could willingly walk into a trap in a cocktail dress and my best heels, all thanks to the hot guy they used as bait, strategically placed at the door. The man raised one of his dark blonde eyebrows at me, shifting his weight.
"Is everything okay?"
"Well," I said, turning at the sound of an approaching car. Two well-dressed women got out and approached us, waving at the gorgeous doorman before disappearing down the hallway. Judging by the way he marked his clipboard without having been told their names, he must already know them. A hint of a smile tugged the corner of his mouth up. I cleared my throat and raised my chin. "Is this the singles mixer presented by First Comes Love?" He tilted his head in that familiar way people do when they first hear my accent. Given Anada's proximity to Finland and Sweden, it was similar to their accents. But the slight variance comes from the fact that our country was its own island in the Baltic Sea.
"You're not from around here, are you?"
he asked, blue eyes narrowed slightly. "Quite far, actually."
"Yes, I can hear that. Where are you from?"
I hesitated. Should I tell him? Again, I was being hunted. The less he knew, the better. "Europe." He raised a brow at my vague answer, but apparently decided not to press me for more.
"Well, yes. This is the singles mixer presented by First Comes Love."
"I see." I looked through the door again, holding my clutch between my hands. "Do they normally host events in their homes as opposed to ballrooms or other event spaces?"
"This is an event space," he replied. "No one lives here. They rent it for mixers because it's right on the ocean. It's got a pretty sweet ocean view. You'll see."
My head turned back toward the street to make sure I wasn't being followed by the security detail I'd been dodging all week. Then I nodded at the man. "All right, then." He held out a hand to escort me through the doorway.
"Watch your step."
An electric current ran up my arm at his touch. As our eyes met, I sincerely hoped he was unaware of the dangers beyond this doorway, if I really was walking into a trap. I would hate to think of him as a murderer. Delectable doorman was much better. "Thank you," I said, letting go of his hand and looking away from his crooked smile again. I was here to meet a wealthy American businessman to solve all my problems, and if I spent any more time talking to this doorman, no matter how attractive he was, I would never accomplish that goal.
You're welcome, he replied.
Turning, I smoothed my hands down my dress as I made my way down the dark hallway. When I made it to a break in the wall, I gasped as the whole ambience changed in the room beyond it. As promised, this venue had a pretty sweet view. The hallway opened up into a magnificent and bright, formal entertaining space. White marble and teakwood covered most surfaces, and floor-to-ceiling windows gave an unobstructed view of the Pacific Ocean only footsteps away. All thoughts of heading to my death in a dingy basement were forgotten as I took in the lavish party below. All right, I had made it. I was here. There was no going back now. I surveyed the room full of well-dressed singles from my position at the top of the stairs. Women in semi-formal attire laughed and sipped champagne, while men in a rainbow of suits mingled about. There was an air of excitement about the room, which I imagined made sense given the fact that they were all probably trying to make a great first impression, so they got a chance to make a second one. Before joining them, I wanted to take a moment to revel in the fact that absolutely no one cared I was here. No eyes were scrutinising me from head to toe. No mouths were hidden behind hands as they whispered about me. No eager men stood at the foot of the stairs, hoping to be the first one to ask me to dance. I was just another ordinarily beautiful woman in a sea of other ordinarily beautiful women. It was all I had ever wanted, and I loved it. In fact, even walking from the car to the door was a treat. Normally, there would have been a crowd of spectators awaiting my arrival. How they always seemed to know where I was going to show up was beyond me. My guards would have to hold their arms out and shield me. Not enough so that I couldn't reach out and shake a few hands, but enough to make sure no one tried to grab me. It never ceased to amaze me how many people actually thought that was acceptable behaviour. Yes, my life in America promised to be very different from the one I had back home. If I got my way, I could come and go as I please with no one caring to take a second look at me. The very idea of that had me buzzing with excitement, so I couldn't wait to get downstairs to initiate the first part of my grand plan to make it happen. Psst! I jumped, placing a hand over my heart as I found the dashing doorman standing at the edge of the hall, just out of sight from the crowd. You startled me.
Sorry, he said with a laugh. Then he held up a bejeweled pin. I think you dropped this.
My hand flew to the updo I had attempted in my long red hair, and sure enough, a pin was missing. Back home, I had a team of people who did my hair and makeup before a big event. Applying makeup seemed to be something of a talent of mine, but my hair was a completely different story. My stylists back home were wizards with curling wands, as far as I was concerned. Thank you, I said, stepping away from the stairs and coming back into the hallway with him. I took the pin from his outstretched hand and raised my arms, realizing almost immediately that I did not have the skills to get this right without a mirror. Before I could ask him where the bathroom was, he held his hand out once again.
May I?
I bit my lip as my eyes scanned his sincere expression. Would that be weird? Did I dare to let a stranger fix my hair when I didn't even know his name? As strange as it could be, he had offered after all. And Americans were typically more casual by nature, weren't they? Perhaps I was overthinking it. Besides, I was eager to get to the party. Are you sure you don't mind? I asked.
Not at all. I have a sister.
Something inside me warmed at that. Older sister or younger sister?
She's younger.
I grinned. I have an older brother.
Oh, yeah? So that means you're a total pain in somebody's butt then, huh?
I thought about how my brother must feel about me right now and could barely contain my smirk.
I can promise you that. Yeah, you look like trouble.
Handing him the pin, I turned to put my back to him. I felt him step closer, heat radiating up my neck at his nearness. Then his hands were on my hair as he worked the pin into my attempt at an updo. When he was finished, he stepped back and I turned to face him, my breath coming out in an uneven burst.
All set, he said, with a disarming quirk of his lips.
Thank you again, I said with a nod, adjusting my purse strap on my shoulder. I suppose I should get down there. He checked his watch.
You probably should. You were pretty late. My eyes whipped to his. I wasn't that late. It started at 5. What time is it now? 1:15. I raised my chin. That is not late. In my world, 15 minutes early is on time, and on time is late. But hey, you're the one here to find a date, not me. So unless you want all of the good ones to be taken, you should probably get after it. I felt a small smile tug my mouth upward as I looked at him. I would not want that. Nope. Enjoy your night, Zara. With that, he tucked his hands in his pockets and turned back for the door without another word. I stood there for a moment, nearly dumbstruck. If I wasn't mistaken, that might have been the first time a man had used my given name in as long as I could remember. The sound of it on his lips echoed in my ears as I turned away.
2. Huck. About 20 minutes after I'd volunteered to stick that pin back into Zara Astor's beautiful red hair, a trio of men in suits approached the door of the rental. I stood up straighter, adjusting the clipboard in front of me. "Can I help you?" The one in front nodded once.
"We're looking for someone, and we believe she's inside."
I frowned. Judging from their accents, I knew exactly who they were looking for.
"Can I see some identification, please?"
The three men looked at each other with varying levels of impatience, and the first guy reached into his jacket pocket. He showed me an unfamiliar-looking military ID from a country called Arnada. So that must be where Zara was from. But why were these men looking for her? And should I help them find her? Or should I help her evade them? She hadn't looked like a criminal. Far from it. In fact, she kind of reminded me of a Disney princess or something. She had those wild eyes Rapunzel had when she was on the run with that guy. And yes, having a sister 14 years younger than me meant I'd watched every princess movie in existence. And because of that, I couldn't exactly lead these buffoons right to her, could I? No, I couldn't. I had no idea what they wanted with the beautiful stranger, but she was somebody's little sister. If this was my sister, if some men in suits showed up looking for her, I would hope the dude at the door would turn them away empty-handed rather than handing her over. As a doorman who is hired as security for the guests at this party, it was the least I could do. If I wasn't going to hand a 50-year-old former child star over to the paparazzi, I wasn't going to hand Zara over to these guys.
"Gentlemen," I said as the man put his ID away, "I'm afraid this is a private event. I'm going to have to ask you to leave."
They all stood up straighter, bracing for a fight. I didn't know what kind of training Arnada's military got, but I was only moonlighting as a doorman. My day job was that of a United States Marine, and if they wanted to compare combat training skills, I was totally game. And I could probably take all three of them. Maybe.
"Now," the man in front said, "we have reason to believe the woman we're looking for is inside this house, and we're not leaving until she has safely returned to us."
"Safely returned to you? Do you think she's in there against her will?" I asked.
"It's none of your concern what we think," the shortest of the three replied. "We've run out of patience and are eager to return to Arnada. So, you're going to comply and let us get what we came for."
I narrowed my eyes at the group.
"I see. Well, you're not coming in. But if you tell me who you're looking for, I can find out if she's inside."
I already knew they were here for Zara, so that was what I'd expected them to tell me. What I hadn't expected was the man in front snaking out a hand and plucking the clipboard right out of my grasp. It was so disrespectful that I wanted to yank it back and hit him over the head with it. But instead, I kept my cool and straightened my suit jacket.
"Huh,"
he replied, pointing to Zara's name on the list. With a curt nod, I took my clipboard back. "I'll see if I can locate her. Wait here."
"Thank you," he replied.
I turned on my heel and entered the house, careful to lock the door behind me. Those idiots had already peeped the entire guest list thanks to me letting my guard down. I wasn't going to let them sneak in through the totally unattended door, too. I set the clipboard on the stool by the door and made my way down the hallway. When I reached the end and scanned the faces in the room below, I sighed, wondering how easy she'd be to spot in this crowd of well-dressed rich people. First Comes Love, the company putting on the event, had mixers with varying themes so people could show up for things based on their interests. This one must have been some kind of swanky 90210-esque theme, because everyone looked like they belonged on a yacht, boat shoes and pale suits included. I scanned the crowd, only needing about 2 seconds to find Zara's vibrant hair in the crowd. Before I could take a step down the stairs, she looked up at me, and I froze with my foot in the air. I knew the depths of her green eyes could only be appreciated well up close, but I could feel the allure of them, even from this distance. My stomach flipped just like it had when I was mere inches away from her, and suddenly, I couldn't get down the stairs fast enough. Strangely, she'd started moving toward the stairs as well. It was almost like she knew I was coming for her. So when I got to the bottom and tripped over my own dumb feet, she was right there to steady me. Her small hands were splayed across my chest, and she laughed with an awkward squeal as my weight almost knocked her over. "I'm so sorry," I said, grabbing her shoulders to steady us. "Are you okay?"
"I am fine, thank you,"
she said in that lilting accent. I pointed at her, unable to resist the urge to flirt, even though I knew she had some potentially unwelcome visitors upstairs. "Let me guess where you're from."
"All right. You can try."
"Hmm," I said, putting a hand under my chin while I pretended to think about it. "It sounds a little like... Arnada?" Zara's eyes widened in alarm, and she grabbed my hand, pulling me through the crowd and right into the dimly lit closet under the stairs.
"How do you know who I am? Who sent you?"
I looked around the cramped storage space with a furrowed brow. "I'm sorry. Did you just drag me into a closet? It's been a while since I played 7 minutes in heaven, but I'm down."
7 minutes in what? I don't know what you mean. Answer my question. Did you look me up?"
"No, but now I wish I had." Gesturing to the closed door of the closet, I eyed her warily. "Should I be concerned? Are you wanted for murder or something?"
"Of course not. That's ridiculous."
"Is it?" She took in my skeptical expression for a moment and then grinned.
"I'm acting rather insane, aren't I?"
"Just a little. But as long as you're just acting insane and not actually insane, I'll forgive you."
"If you didn't look me up, how did you know I was from Arnada? And do not tell me you recognized my accent, because I won't believe you."
Again, Zara reminded me of Rapunzel. But this time, it was like I was that guy she'd just tied up and was threatening me with a frying pan. I'd make a joke about it to her, but I didn't know if they even had Disney in her obscure little country. Okay, who was I kidding? Of course they did. "There are some men outside looking for you," I explained, knots forming in my stomach at the sight of her unease. Just like outside, and probably only because of my sister, I felt the urge to protect her. "Who are they?" She bit her lip, looking from side to side like a caged animal.
"If I promise to tell you everything later, will you help me escape them?"
I should have taken my time answering her. I should have weighed my options. I should have thought it over. In fact, it probably would have been smarter to consider my position employed by the American government and wonder how this would impact that. I also should have pressed her further about any potential criminal activities or psychiatric holds on her record. But I didn't do any of that. Instead, I got lost in the entrancing emerald of her eyes and nodded. "Sure." Her relief was instantaneous, and she lit up like the sun before throwing her arms around me in a tight hug.
"Thank you, thank you, thank you!"
Before I could react, she jumped back, straightening her gown and looking totally shocked at herself.
"I'm so sorry. Please, forgive me."
"No problem," I replied with a chuckle. "Hang tight here for a second. I'm going to figure out a way out of here."
"All right."
With a small parting smile, I slipped out of the closet and adjusted my tie. I had a feeling I'd regret this. But it wasn't the kind of feeling that would make me change my mind, just the kind that would nag me until it was proven right. And I could handle that. What did I have to lose? Huck? I jumped at the sound of my name, calming when I realized the voice belonged to my best friend's wife, the CEO of First Comes Love. I turned, trying for casual.
Hey, Amy, what's up?
Why aren't you at the front door? Is there a problem? She asked, her face full of concern. There were a lot of wealthy and semi-famous people at this party, so she'd stressed the importance of security to me and the other two guards ahead of the event. And since our family needed all the extra help we could get right now, I really didn't want to get banned from future gigs because of this. Was there a way to help Zara and also keep my side gig with First Comes Love? I shook my head.
Not at all. Just had to use the restroom. No worries.
Okay, just making sure, she said, though she didn't look convinced. Which wouldn't surprise me, since there was a bathroom on the same floor as the front door, and I wouldn't need to come down here to use this one. I cleared my throat.
The one upstairs was occupied.
I see. Well, Brad and Cameron in the back if you need one of them to watch the front door for you.
Good idea. I'll ask. Thanks.
Huck, we have several extra special guests at tonight's event. I really don't want there to be any problems that would keep them from coming back in the future. I nodded once.
Understood.
Amy raised a brow at me, but apparently couldn't decide if she wanted to say anything. I held on to the benign expression on my face, even as I weighed my options. Zara could very well be one of these extra special guests. Should I tell Amy about the men who are after her? Should I ask her if she knows anything about them or their reason for being here? The upside would be that if they were the bad guys, Amy could help me get Zara out of there and call the police or FBI or whoever would handle an international case of attempted kidnapping. But, on the other hand, if Zara was on the run from prison in Arnada and these men had every right to bring her home, I'd be throwing her under the bus after giving her my word that I'd help her. And as old-fashioned as it sounded, a man was only as good as his word. Finally, Amy gave me a quick nod and walked away to attend to her clients. She didn't come to all of the mixers, but this one happened to be full of VIPs, so she was here to make an appearance and offer her support. As a VIP with the best matchmaking company in Southern California, according to their marketing anyway, that was the kind of treatment you got from the big boss. When Amy was sufficiently distracted, I ducked back into the closet under the stairs. Zara's eyes were wide, and she rushed forward, placing a delicate hand against her porcelain cheek. Is everything all right?
Yeah. I ran into the CEO and she gave me a good idea.
What is it? I pulled out my phone and navigated to the group text I had with the other two security guards.
I'm going to get my guys to go to the front and cover for me. Then we'll sneak out the back before everyone catches on and comes looking for us.
What are you going to tell them so they aren't suspicious of you?
I hit send on the message I'd been typing to my coworkers and grimaced at her. You probably don't want to know.
Yes, I do, she said with a grin. Tell me.
Wrinkling my nose, I leaned a shoulder against the closed door. I told them I had food poisoning and had to leave in a hurry. Then I warned them not to eat the salmon we're serving out there.
Zara threw back her head and laughed, then covered her mouth with her hands as her eyes sparkled. Sorry. That's as perfect as it is disturbing. No one would want to question you about that.
Exactly.
Thank you, she said earnestly. You have no idea how much it means to me that you would help me like this, even though you don't even know me.
Yeah, well, I'll probably get a hard time for it later. So whatever your story is, it better be good. And you better not be guilty of any major international crimes or anything.
Mischief glimmered behind her smile as she stared up at me. The total picture of a bad idea in a hot dress. None that I know of.
3. Zara. Once my mystery doorman's friends agreed to cover for him, we'd had to move fast. There was no telling what would happen when my royal guard discovered that the security guard they'd asked to find me had whisked me away instead. Not that he, apparently, realised what those men were to me. If he had, maybe he would think there was a payday in it for him if he helped me escape. But since he didn't appear to know I was royalty, so far it seemed my blue-eyed rescuer was doing me this favour on blind faith alone. The sun was just beginning to go down when we slipped out the sliding door on the basement level and into a private courtyard hidden from the partygoers upstairs. I looked around, taking in the turquoise, deep blue and white decor that reminded me of the Mediterranean. It seemed out of place in the Southern California mansion on the beach. However, I had seen a beautiful Japanese minka two doors down, complete with sliding doors and wooden verandas. Maybe the diversity of the homes on this stretch of beach were another example of the melting pot that was America. It made me want to live here even more than I already did.
"Ready?"
he asked, opening the gate and peeking out to make sure the coast was clear. I smoothed my hands down my dress and nodded, stepping forward. "Ready."
"Wait, you should take your shoes off."
I looked down at my velvet Gianvito Rossi pumps and then back up at him. "Excuse me?"
"You should take your shoes off. It's nothing but sand down here. I figured we'd walk down the beach for a while and then circle back to my car from the other direction."
My hesitation was clearly baffling him, but the palms of my hands felt as cold as ice. I was positively immobile. We were never permitted to go barefoot growing up. We always had a pair of shoes or slippers on, and the result was that I absolutely hated the feeling of my bare feet touching anything other than the cool tile of a shower or the soft sheets of my bed. The idea of slipping out of my heels and walking across this cobblestone courtyard made my spine tingle. Of course, I'd been to the beach before, and walking barefoot in the sand wasn't the problem. It was the dirt on the cobblestone floor or the sand on the sidewalk that led to the beach.
"What's wrong?"
he asked, his whole body humming like we needed to hurry. Since we were actively trying to get away from my guard, I attempted to snap out of it. Maybe I could just leave them on until the pavement ended and the sand began. That would help considerably. I started to step forward, but he shook his head and let the gate silently close, then grabbed me by the hand and pulled me into another closet. I didn't think I'd ever been manhandled like this in my entire life, and his fingers burned against my skin. Unlike the last closet we did in, this one was pitch black. I tried not to think about what might be hiding in a courtyard storage closet while I felt him moving around to find a light. He flicked on a small Edison bulb over our heads and held up his hands.
"Let there be light."
"Another closet, then?"
"Yeah, I guess it was my turn to pull you into one."
With a whisper of a laugh, I shook my head. "I'm terribly sorry about this."
"It's okay. It's kind of fun. I feel like spending most of my childhood pretending to be a special agent was a good move."
I looked up at him, enjoying the way his expressive eyes seemed to smile more than his mouth did. It was like he was serious on the outside and full of life on the inside. Back home, my gentleman suitors were usually one or the other. Some were severe or boring, no matter what you tried to do to bring them out of their shells. Others were such children that I could not imagine having to spend my life with them. Would they ever mature? Or would they just get worse until they were elderly children? And imagine trying to be a parent with someone who acted like an infant. I could not bear the thought. "What's your name?" I asked, suddenly realizing that he knew mine, but I didn't know his.
"Huck."
I furrowed my brow, trying out the unfamiliar word. "Huck? What a strange name."
"What? And Zara is a common name."
"It means princess, or flower, depending on which origin you go with."
"Huh. That fits you, I guess."
I swallowed, wondering again if he knew who I was and was only pretending to be in the dark. "What's the origin of Huck?"
"I can't tell you."
For a long moment, we just stared at each other. I kept waiting for him to say he was joking, but he didn't relent. Finally, I shrugged. "We are all entitled to our secrets."
"Yes, but you're going to spill yours like you promised, right?
I am. But how long do you think we'll have to stay in here? I asked.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?